Amen. Whew, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. When we were praising and worshiping, I remembered one more huge praise that we had this week that came in. One of Lacey and Lindsay's friend's little brother was riding his bike in the neighborhood and was hit by a car. And the older brother put out a Instagram or text or something, I remember what it was, for everyone to be praying. And so Lacey had emailed back that we would be praying for him as a church. And he emailed her back or texted her back, whatever, and said that to really pray. They were extremely concerned about head trauma and long-term effects, and they were sending him up to OHSU. Within a matter of hours, that little boy was sent home with no signs of anything. The family was up till the middle of the night, so they thought, we'll sleep in and we'll let everybody rest and take everybody to school later. He was the first person up, and he was making everyone breakfast and lunch. And he was like, why are you all sleeping in? How good is, yes, give the Lord a praise. That is, you know, some people could say, oh, it was just coincidence, they misdiagnosed. No, that is not a misdiagnosis. That's called a miracle. That is a miracle. When you have people praying and believing, a doctor just doesn't say those things just to be saying. They don't ship you up to OHSU just because of a whim. There is normally a huge concern, and they have evidence to back it up. So by the time he got there, something had changed. And praise God, we know what that something was, right? Amen. God is so faithful. Speaking of praises, we are coming up to November, and in November, our church does 30 days of praise. And I know that there are some of you that are not going to be here next week to get yours, a vacation, different family things. So if you're not going to be here, make sure you pick one up today. Starts November 1st, and every day you write down something to praise the Lord about. It's a great time of year to just be thinking about all that God has done for you. I mean, we should always walk in an attitude of praise, but writing it down helps to see it. So it's right out there on the table. You can grab one before you go. And thank you to everyone. I don't know very many churches. In fact, my sister and I were talking about this, that their church has these big troughs for candy at their for their harvest party. And she said, we've got 3 bags. And they have a church that's probably like maybe 5 or 6 times our size. And we are already full. I mean, if you have candy already purchased, you can bring it. I'm sure the kids will love the extra. But, I mean, we are full and overflowing at this point. So thank you so much for giving and having giving hearts. I think there's even more than back there because there's a couple people that emailed and said, I've got candy coming. So we're good. And thank you for everyone who signed up. There's still an opportunity to sign up. We'll need some cleanup help. The kids and I and Steve, I think, almost got the room set up for the games this morning. Praise the Lord. And then we have a whole crew of people that are willing to help. So thank you, thank you, thank you. As he said, the pizza will, we'll have pizza after church. We will have a donation basket if you want to give toward helping with the pizza. That'd be great. If you wanted, you know, to give and you didn't have a chance with candy, that'd be another opportunity to give. But it's not necessary. So all that said, let's keep going with our tithes and offering. We start a new series about trusting the Lord. Do you trust me? And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And I gave you this illustration last week, and I know for those who are listening you can't see it, but I'm leaning sideways. Because he says, lean not on your own understanding. And we talked about if you're leaning like this, it's going to be difficult to walk, let alone run, let alone help someone else. I mean, if you're walking down the street like this, people are going to be like, what in the world is going on? Well, if things feel off in your life and they feel kind of uncomfortable and they don't make sense, maybe it's because you're leaning on your own understanding and you just need to get yourself right back up and trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because God has a plan, right? And last week we learned about the very first step in trusting the Lord is taking the first step. And in both of these pictures, we talked about that there's a dad with his arms reached out, but if that child doesn't take that first step, they're not going to make it. They're not going to get there. And so we talked about the story of Abraham and how the Lord promised, actually Abram at that time, the Lord promised Abraham all these amazing things in Genesis 12. But what was the thing that he told him he had to do first? Thank you, Liz. Go. He had to go. Otherwise, all those blessings were not going to happen. Just like these kids, in order to be caught by their dad or to make it, they have to have what? The first step. And today, the next thing in trust is an R, and that's reach out to the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis. We're going to carry on with the story of Abram. And we're going to start in Genesis 12:8. And this is after the Lord had blessed Abraham and he had taken off to go to where the Lord was calling him to go. And it says in verse 8, "From there he went on toward the hills of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord." Say called. He called on the name of the Lord. Now we're going to skip over to Genesis 13, verse 4. And it said, well, actually, we'll back up to verse 3. "From the Negev, he went to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had built his first altar. And the altar, and there Abram called," say called, "called on the name of the Lord." The next step in trusting the Lord is reaching out to the Lord. If you'll notice, both of these pictures, the kids are doing something. The little girl's got her hand straight up like this, and the little boy's got his hand like this. They're both reaching. They've taken their first step, and they're following that first step up with an action. And so often, we'll take that first step with the Lord, and we'll give our tithes and our offerings, and we are so excited, and we are so fired up, but we forget the next step in trusting him. And that is reaching out to him on a daily basis and asking him, what do we do with our finances? Don't wait until things are critical and then go to him with, oh, wow, oops, can you help me, Lord? He's ready to be there before the oops, help me, Lord. He's ready to be there for the don't make that decision, don't make that move, so that you don't even get to the oops because he's already directed you. I love the story of David. So many times in David's life, he calls on the name of the Lord. He's a leader. He's a king, but before that, he was the leader of a group of men. They were warriors. And yet every time before he set out to go to the enemy, he would always seek the Lord. Even if the battle looked exactly the same as the one that they had just fought before, he didn't rely on the past. He wanted a fresh new word from the Lord. He wanted a fresh new direction. And we see this in the life of Abram as well. In chapter 12, in verse 8, he calls on the name of the Lord. And the following passage after that, there's a famine, and he has to go down to Egypt. This is why it's important that you call on the name of the Lord on a daily basis. Because famines are no big deal to God. He's got a place where he can provide for you. Let me say this again. Famines are no big deal to the Lord. He's got a place where he can provide for you. And we see in the next chapter that Abram and Sarah and Lot go to Egypt. And when they leave Egypt, it says this in verse 2 of chapter 13. "Now Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock, silver, and gold." Wait a minute, I thought there was a famine. I thought there was shortage. I thought there was lack. But it says he left Egypt wealthy. Not just livestock, he had gold and silver. Wow. And then we see in chapter 13 that he calls on the name of the Lord again in verse 4. And after that, he has to make a big decision in his life. Lot and he are so wealthy, they can't be together anymore because there's too many of them and it's causing problems. So they have a decision to make of who goes which direction. But he had sought the Lord in verse 4, so when it came time to decision making, he had already had the mind of God and said, "Lot, you choose first." There are going to be decisions and points in your life that you're going to have to choose. Do we go to the right or to the left? Do we invest here or do we invest there? Do I choose this job or this job? Do I give or not give? And you need to have had time with the Lord and reached out with him so that, like Abraham, you can say, you know what? You choose first. What? You're going to let somebody else? You need to choose first. If you choose first, you'll get the best deal. Not always. And that's why it's important to seek the Lord. Abram had sought the Lord, and so he told Lot, you choose. Lot, it doesn't say sought the Lord. So he looked in the natural, and what did he see? Green, good, plentiful, desert, dry, nothing. I choose this one over here. I'll take this one. And so Lot went off to Sodom and Gomorrah. That looked in the natural like the best decision. And what did the Lord said? Abram, I'm going to give you it all anyway. All of this is yours and your kids. God has a plan. And if we trust him, if we take that first step and then we reach out on a daily basis, the Lord will show you, just like he did with David in battle. I remember there was one time where the Lord said, David, be quiet and don't advance until you hear the rustling in the trees. How specific is that? Okay, guys, everybody be quiet. When the trees start rustling, it's time for us to move. Now, that kind of probably sounds crazy to some of his guys, but God had a plan in everything. And a lot of times, it has nothing to do with the rustling of the trees. It has to do with the obedience of your heart to listen to his voice, because he has a timing and a plan and a purpose. And we know from Jeremiah, what is it? It's for a hope and a future, for you to be blessed. What was his plan for Abram? To be the father of what? Many nations. To be so blessed that he would be a blessing to the nation. And whose seed are you a part of? Abraham's seed. Do you see this? If we will grab hold of what Abram learned and David learned and all throughout the patriarchs, you can see that they called on the name of the Lord. They were always reaching out, looking for wisdom. There are times in your life where the Lord's going to tell you to do something financially and you're going to be like, what? That doesn't make any sense, Lord. Are you sure? Are you sure? And he's going to say, remember, you took the step, you reached out to me, this is my answer. Go do it. And you do it, and what happens? Everyone else is in famine, but you. You have to make a big, major decision. Everyone else is freaking out, but not you. You walk in the peace and the understanding that you can trust your Heavenly Father to do what's good and right for you. Amen. Aren't you so glad for God's word? I know I say it a lot, but a lot of times the Old Testament gets pushed aside because we have the new covenant. We do have a new covenant, but there is a reason why these Old Testament stories are in here, and they apply to you today. Let me say it again. They apply to you today. Abram's life has so many things that we can learn not to do or to do. And the big one we need to look at today is reaching out to the God. Call on the name of the Lord. Not when you're in trouble. It doesn't say he did this right before these things happened. It says he did them, then the events took place. So he was already prayed up. He was ready. And God showed him what to do. The days we live in, we're not guaranteed tomorrow that our finances are going to be firm. Not in the world system. There is no security in the world. But you know where your security lies? In the Lord. As a tither and a giver, you are promised that you and your children won't go borrowing and begging for bread. The Lord will always provide for you. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings today. Father, we just thank you so much for this word. Do you trust me? Yes. Yes, God, I trust you today. I trust you. I'm willing to take the step to give my tithes and offerings. I'm willing, Lord, to reach out to you on a daily basis to ask you, what do I do? Help us not to simplify things and make it, well, that's just an easy thing. No, Lord, help us just to trust you in every decision. Do we go to this grocery store or that grocery store? Listening to the voice of the Lord when he says, you know what? Don't take that way home. Take this way home. when you tell us, give to that family, help us not to hesitate, God, but to act and to do what you've called us to do. Because God, we know, seeing the examples in the Bible, that you will take care of us. Whether it's a famine or a major decision, or maybe it's whatever is going on in our lives, God, we don't have to fear tomorrow. We can trust you with all of our heart, not leaning on what we know, not leaning on what we understand, but trusting you with all of our heart, and you will make our path straight. We praise you for your faithfulness in our finances today. Bless every seed that is sown. In Jesus' name, and God, we just praise you and we thank you that we continue to call in from the north, the south, the east, and the west, the finances that are supposed to be in the hands of the people in this church, whether they are being stopped up or held back, in Jesus' name, they are released today. Father, we will be faithful. We will be vessels you can flow through to touch others and to touch the world around us. We praise you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.
Have a lot of fun with the kids next week, which I think they have fun every week, but praise God. Me and Shelly at heart are children's pastors, and love you. Thanks for coming today. Thanks for coming today. You look very nice. What is your name again?
Laura.
Thanks for coming today, Laura. But we love children's ministry, amen, so much that we had four of our own. So, praise God, and it's just a wonderful thing. But let's pray with this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your blessing on your words to us today. We ask you, Lord, to bless our nation and bless our president, Mr. Trump, our vice president, Mr. Pence, their families, Lord, the Congress, Mr. Ryan, Lord God, and the Supreme Court, Mr. Roberts, Lord, Mr. Inslee, and the governor of Washington, and Ms. Brown, the governor of Oregon, all of our representatives and senators and congresspeople, Lord, that you would add and subtract as you see fit, Lord, from the leadership of our nation. God, that you would give our nation a heart to serve and love God, to honor the truth, Lord Jesus, and to do what is right. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to do a message as we're preparing for the midterm elections. And I'm told that for whatever reason, a lot of pastors won't touch this kind of stuff because of, you know, controversy and all these kind of things. But it is our responsibility as ministers to bring you things to look at as the body of Christ, because how many know we're responsible for the way the nation goes, right? And I heard some bad news this week that Canada now, the whole nation of Canada has legalized marijuana. The whole nation, right? Now, things that happen here bounce around all over the world. I mean, all the junk that you hear about and see happening in other nations, a lot of times started here. And good things, too. Praise God. We don't want to negate the good things. The gospel is being preached around the world, by and large, because God has used our country. Amen? But sin also that originates in the hearts of an American somewhere, right, will go and increase all the more in other places. And God, I believe, holds the church accountable for this kind of stuff. I mean, how many Christians, Bible-believing Christians, sat on their hands during recent elections? Now, praise God for we're seeing changes now, and I know our president has, you know, a lot of controversy around him with the media and all these things. But the man, I believe, is genuine in his faith. Now, he hasn't always been, probably, right? And when I first heard he was running for president, I kind of just thought it was a show, like everybody else. And I voted for Cruz in the primaries. But no matter, you know, how many of you pray for your country, right? How many of you trust God when you pray for your country, right? And when it came down to the actual election, I definitely voted for Donald Trump. Definitely. Why? Because the alternative was unacceptable to me. Nothing against Mrs. Clinton, nothing against her family, but all the things that mindset represents, to me, I could not accept that as a Christian. And how many Christians I heard on social media and other ways that say, I can't vote for Trump either. I can't vote for anybody, and I'll vote for myself before I'll vote for him. It's like, well, you know, you might have been told that, but you have to look at, before the personality, you need to look at the Word of God, right? And see where this person stands on these key issues and vote the issues. Don't vote the personality, vote the issues, right? And that's, I believe, what God would have us to look at today and just share some thoughts on the core things we need to be looking at going into any election, right? And how many know when we vote, there should be homework that is done when we vote, right? And even down to judges, a lot of most judge, I'm good, Lacey, I think. Thank you, honey. But a lot of judges are, you know, nonpartisan, and you can go on their website and just click on who supports them, and you'll immediately see where they stand on values and so forth, right? So these are important things, right? And so we're praying, we're trusting God, let the Holy Ghost lead you. My job is not to tell you who to vote for, as I see it. My job is to show you the issues that are at hand, as I feel, you know, led by the Holy Ghost. And you, as an American, have the right to vote however you want to vote, right? But we should vote the Word of God. We should vote what the Word of God says. Say what God says, vote how God says vote, and trust Him for the results. Amen. But the picture there that I picked for the cover of this is President Lincoln, the Lincoln Memorial. And I love, this is one of my favorite quotes from any president ever. And somebody asked him, I believe it was in regards to the Civil War, is God on our side? Right? You think God's on our side? And he answered this way. He said, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right. Amen? Don't you appreciate that? And so when you see that statue looking out over Washington, D.C., right? I can still hear those words, right? And there are many people who would echo that. I think I need to go to this because I don't know why, but I think I'm cutting out, aren't I, Lacey? So I'm going to go to the handheld. Sorry, guys. We'll figure this out later. Amen. Praise the Lord. There we go. Can you hear me now? Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's important to be on God's side. Who would say amen to that, right? And can a nation be on God's side, right? Absolutely. Can a church be on God's side or not on God's side, right? It's important. How do we do that? By doing what the Word of God says to do, right? So our foundation text, and I've entitled this, it's not a unique title. It's called Faith for Our Nation. And if you Google the term Faith for Our Nation, stuff will come up from that I did last night. It's from Eagle Mountain International Church, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And there are some great broadcasts that they've done, and they title them Faith for Our Nation or America Stands. And they've done some tremendous work and research and so forth and put broadcasts together along these lines to educate the body of Christ on why you vote and how you should vote and things to consider when you vote. David Barton and his website is called Wall Builders. Great man of God and historian, biblical historian, and he has great insights. He was involved with putting together the Republican platform, actually. So it's just tremendous things, right? But our foundation text here today is Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Amen. So if the nation is blessed whose God is the Lord, then the nation whose God is not the Lord, what is the alternative to that, right? Curse, cursed, right? Amen. Not because God is cursing that nation, but because that's the alternative. If you don't choose heaven, you're choosing hell, right? It's just that simple. See, we got to watch as believers that we don't complicate things with people's opinions and all. Oh, no, it's not just that cut and dry. Oh, yeah, it is. Jesus up, devil down, right? Now, how does that work when you have a nation that, you know, has all different kinds of leaders? And that's why it's important that we vote the right people into office, right? 'Cause Because I've heard, I think John Maxwell said, everything rises and falls on leadership. Amen? And so we need to have the right leaders in places of authority, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So prayer, somebody say prayer, intercessory prayer for your nation, for your leaders. Amen. And I like how it says, if my people, he's not talking about the world. He's talking about if my people will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, right? And pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. So there's power in prayer and in Christians being Christians. Amen. In the church doing what the church should be doing. Praise God, right? There's power in that. So no matter who's in Washington, D.C., if the church will pray, if the church will repent to God for our sins, amen, and come to God and turn from our wicked ways and come to God and repent and pray, God will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. Praise God. So no matter who's in charge, that's why you could be an Iranian citizen today, right, and call on the name of Jesus and turn from your sins and get a group of people together, start meeting, probably secretly there. And God will do miracles in that land. Amen. Is that Bible? That's Bible. Amen. Don't underestimate the power of one believer. One person. Right? Look at Daniel. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And people like this. One guy ended up being the difference maker in a nation, right? 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says this, therefore I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Amen. So praying for our leaders, praying for our leaders. I prayed for President Obama. I prayed for President Clinton. You got to avoid getting into finger pointing and condescending and judging people and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, we judge philosophies. How do you judge at the polls? That's when you judge. And I think we saw that in the presidential election. Despite all the noise and the rhetoric, there was a judgment that happened at the polls that day by God and by the nation. And there were people probably that never would admit that they voted for Donald Trump. But it was a supernatural thing, right? So don't ever underestimate the power of the supernatural hand of God, but he does it through his people, through the church, right? Amen? So we need to be people that are people of prayer. I sent a couple of emails to our Democratic senators recently about some things. And you know, one of them replied to me. Didn't ask for a reply, but I appreciated that, right? I appreciated, and she knows I'm a Republican and all this kind of stuff, but who cares? Honestly, who cares? That Democratic senator is in the state of Washington. I'm a Washington resident. I sent her an email. First thing I said was, thank you for your service. Appreciate, honor. Doesn't mean I agree with your politics, but you know what I'm saying? And we pray for them. And we ask God to help them no matter what party they're in, right? Amen. Because if you haven't noticed, we're all in the same boat here, the USS USA. Amen. And we don't have to get into hatred and all the crazy stuff that's happened recently in Portland with these so-called right-wing protesters now. That doesn't represent me. Not at all, right? We have a God of peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we are in still the best nation on the planet. Right? We have the ability to vote. We have freedoms. Amen. And so we thank God for that, but we need to remember we have responsibility with those freedoms. Responsibility. Amen. And take it serious before God. But we're going to look at three of these issues to be remembering in any election, especially right now. This is a very, very important, any election is important. From your community that you're in to nationally. And it affects the world, as we'll see, right? Amen. But the word political, the word platform, because we're going to look at platform statements from each party, the Democratic and Republican Party specifically, right? And the word platform means a public statement of principles, objectives, and policy of a political party, especially as put forth by representatives of the party in a convention to nominate candidates for an election. Amen? And when you think about a platform, you think about something somebody is standing on, right? Something they're building on top of, right? And principles, objectives, policies, these things are important. We shouldn't just kind of skirt across the top and, okay, I'm just going to vote this way because that's how Grandpa voted. Well, guess what? Grandpa may not have been voting for this. If this were the case back in 1947, Grandpa might not have voted this way. Amen? Because stuff changes. Amen? But I want to look at three main topics here, life, marriage, and Israel primarily. And I really believe if there's a number of things to look at, but knowing where somebody stands on these key issues will direct our nation in one course or another. Amen? And it's in both parties. There's Republicans that are pro-abortion, right? It's weird. It's like, no, you need to read your party platform and be that. Right? So in other words, just knowing this doesn't mean this because Joe somebody has an R by his name that you should vote for him. You need to know about him. We have actually voters' guides for Oregon out front, but there's ways you can get online and, there's different websites you can go to and ways to, get the information you need on different part, whoever's running or even the issues, that kind of stuff. But let's get into this. Amen. So what about life? Well, first of all, I put in your notes, you'll see D for Democrat, R for Republican, and B for Bible. All right? Who thinks it's important? A lot of people would say, you can't vote the Bible. You can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. Our nation was founded on the Bible, right? And David Barton was sharing that he knows some current senators right now of the Democratic Party that are totally born-again Christians, love God, share their faith all over the place, but yet vote pro-abortion, pro-homosexual. And their reasoning is, well, that's my job. Guess what? You can't separate your job from your faith, especially that one. Amen. Well, that's my job. Well, no. Your job, first and foremost, is to love the Lord your God with all your soul. But a lot of folks, even in those high places of leadership, don't see the connection between the word and where our nation is and their responsibility to God and to the people, right? So here we go. What about life? Well, Jeremiah 1, verse 5 says this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So that scripture right there tells me that God knew me, knew you before the womb. So does the womb count as life? Is that an embryo? Or is that a human being in there? Right? Amen. So these are critical things. Look at Proverbs 6. And that note there about Jeremiah, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. When you think about how many millions of babies have been aborted since Roe v. Wade, right? It's astounding. How many surgeons? How many preachers? How many business people? How many missionaries? How maybe somebody that would have found a cure for cancer? Amen. That's millions of Americans, right? Now, if you go to the death rates, what do they call that? Mortality rates. You'll see heart disease. You'll see cancer. You'll see accidents, and the whole thing is to bring awareness to people. Well, such and such number of thousands of people die every year from drunk driving accidents. Such and such people die from cancer, heart disease. You know what is not mentioned? Abortion. That would blow them all away. All of them. Why is that not mentioned? You know how Nazi that is? To not mention. Not even mention it. At least could you mention it? This would be a good email. And I did send an email actually last year to a representative about this. Why is it not mentioned? Simple question, right? It would at least bring awareness. It would at least get our nation to admit these are deaths of human beings. Right? Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but the choir needs preaching. I know because I've been in it. And where I was, I needed preaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you'd be amazed how much of the church just shirks over it. Doesn't matter. Grace of God. Yeah, the grace is there, but the grace is there to change me. Not just to give me permission to keep living like I'm living. Amen. Now, Proverbs 6:16 through 19 says this. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and here it is. Hands that shed innocent blood. Amen. God hates abortion. Hates it. Praise God, right? So let's look at the Democratic Party platform on this issue. We will support sexual and reproductive health and rights around the globe. This is a direct quote from the party platform. In addition to expanding the availability of affordable family planning, they call it, information and contraceptive supplies, we believe that safe abortion must be a part of comprehensive maternal and women's health care included as part of America's global health programming. See, so there's this concern about not just America, but the globe, this universal, you know, you'll see and you'll hear in a lot of the terminology, this whole thing about no borders, just let everybody come in. Just what that also means is eventually if you take that to the hilt, is there's no borders around you either. What's yours is ours. They'll use terms, a lot of the Democratic platform, you'll see terms like universal health care, universal education. What that means is we'll tell you what to think. Danger, Will Robinson, right? Amen. And they make it sound like, and again, nothing against people that are in the Democratic Party, all right? But I'm telling you what's in their platform. You can read it for yourself. They make it sound like if you're a woman, if you're a minority, right? If you're an immigrant, if you're LGBT, lesbian, gay, transgest, whatever, you know, you should be a Democrat. This is your, it's like, how do we just include all the people we can include in this group? How could you possibly be a minority and be a Republican? Well, you're not called to be anything but biblical. And the Bible is for all races, not just for white, rich men above 60. Amen. It's for everybody. The word of God is for everybody. Amen. Were any women, young women, aborted this week? Any black people aborted? Any Mexican people aborted this week? So therefore, all that you're saying to me is irrelevant because you obviously don't care about those people. Amen. Or woman's health care? Are you kidding me? Right now, it's important to not get in the flesh about these things and get all, you know, but it's just so crystal clear when you look at it through the word of God. Amen. The Republican platform says this: the Constitution's guarantee that no one can be deprived of life, liberty, or property deliberately echoes the Declaration of Independence's proclamation that all are endowed by their Creator with the inalienable right to life. Accordingly, we assert the sanctity of human life and affirm that the unborn child has a fundamental right to life which cannot be infringed. To me, guys, that by itself is enough reason to not vote for anybody that has a D by their name. Why? Because if I do, the blood is on my hands. You understand what I'm saying? If I do, knowingly vote for, but my whole, what do you call it? You know, the groups that all get together at a company and vote the same way. What do they call that? Union. Yeah, this is how my union votes. I have to vote this way. Guess what? You're not called to vote with your union. You're called to be in union with Jesus. And Jesus will put you in a better union if you put him first. Amen? I don't want the blood on my hands. You want to know about stopping school shootings? Right? It's not taking guns out of people's hands that know how to use them. It's called stop killing unborn babies and you'll stop loosing the devil in schools. Period. Period. Amen. Right? There's a spiritual cause and effect that a lot of people refuse to admit. But it's right there. It's right there. That's why the church has to show up at the polls. Not hating people, all this kind of stuff. Just be like Jesus on the cross. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But I do, and that's why I'm here today. I'm going to believe you to touch our nation. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. What about marriage? Okay. Let's look at what the Bible says about marriage. And again, I listed a few verses there. The Bible says, out of the mouths of two or more witnesses, let anything be established. So it's not good to just find one verse. And I put three. But I'm sure you could find a lot more if you started digging, right? But look at this. Genesis 2:24. The Bible says this. Therefore, a man, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, it's amazing that we have to get so basic. But the devil is a sicko. He's a psycho. Right? There is not like the human race is not like Baskin Robbins. There's not 31 flavors. There's male and there's female, boy and girl, period. Amen. Praise God, right? So it says this in the Word, Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother. Right? Praise God, right? It's good to see it in the Word. Because it's one thing you say, that ain't right, that ain't right. Well, how do you know that? I just know that ain't right. Well, no, here's where it shows in the Word of God how God put this thing together, right? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, not his husband. I do not like the illustration that says it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Because I'm Steve, so that feels awkward to me. Amen, right? So, man and woman, right? And they became one flesh. They shall become one flesh, right? So there's the picture of marriage according to the Word of God, right? Look at Romans 1, 26 through 28. Romans 1, 26 through 28. Do you see how evil it is for the church to sit on their hands and act like, it don't matter. Repent, church, right? Repent, pastors, talking to me too, right? Get yourself right with God. Get the log out of your own eye so you can remove the speck out of the nation's eye. Amen, right? Because it ain't just about me. It's about everybody. It's about the next generation, right? So here we go. Romans 1, 26 to 28. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. What does God call homosexuality? Vile passions, right? For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Now, all these folks that love nature, the boy horse isn't looking at the girl, at the other boy horse going, right? The female otter isn't looking at another female otter going, oh, hey, just look at nature, nature lovers. It's not out there. Amen, right? Come on, right? Women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful. What does God say about this? It is shameful, right? And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due, right? This is why when I see commercials of healthcare institutions, and they put in their commercial two men that have just gotten married. That is not good for your health. I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV, but I know that is not good for your health. So don't lie to me. That tells me you're a liar. You know better than that, doctor. What you're doing is you're lying to the people. Yikes, man. In order to get more business, in order to be politically whatever, to get more funding for your hospital. That's what it's all about. The love of money, make no mistake about it, is the root of all evil. We believe in biblical prosperity. Biblical prosperity does not preach the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's what all these things are wrapped up in, man. Right? Amen? So shameful, right? Disgusting, vile. It's wrong. It's not, you weren't born that way. It's a decision. Now I'm not saying that there's not the reality of same-sex attractions that people have to deal with. But it's not to be embraced, right? Just like the guy that's living with somebody he's not married to. It's like dealing with those kind of things. It's all in the same category called sin. Sin. What do we do with sin, church? Repent of sin. Amen? I had one brother many years ago come to me and say, Pastor Steve, would you please pray for somebody in their family? She's living a lesbian lifestyle. I want her to get saved out of it. And I was like, brother, we'll pray right now. But just so you know, sin is sin, man. If somebody's living with somebody out of wedlock or somebody's in a home, it's all sin, man. And he goes, well, you know, we've been talking about getting married. It's like, whoa, what? He's been serving in our ministry for a long time. Him and another lady, blended family, not married. It's like, brother, we'll pray for your family member, but you and sister so-and-so, bring all your kids to my office this week, and we'll just get you married. Oh, but Pastor Steve, we get all these benefits from the government, and it's like, oh, dude, you'd rather be right with God than with the government. Think about what you're communicating to those kids. Brother, you know what I'm saying? We take sin and we try to categorize it. Well, it's all sin. Amen. But what we do politically is we don't vote it like it's good, right? We don't vote these things in like they're okay. We say, you know what? Sin needs to be repented of, and people need to be cleansed and set free from that. Set free from that. The blood of Jesus will set them free. Amen. Now look at the Democratic platform says this. Democrats applaud last year's decision by the Supreme Court that recognized LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people, like other Americans, have the right to marry the person they love. Well, first of all, what business of the Supreme Court is that? Good Lord, don't you have something more important to get to than something as vile as this? Putting this on you, why? Because it's money. Love of money. Make no mistake about it, right? And getting more people in your party. That's what it's all about. You don't care about that person. I've heard them. I've heard key Democratic leaders say, we don't believe that either, but it's my job. Well, no. You don't believe that either. You're just not standing up for what's right because of the money involved and the power and the prestige that you get, and you will answer for it someday if you don't repent. You're not doing these people that are in this lifestyle any good by giving them special handouts and favors. Sure not doing our nation or our schools any good. They're even getting it into the schools where kids are being taught now. You may be one of these. I heard of a story in our own school system just a few years ago of a woman teacher showing pictures of her wedding to her wife, to the kids. Wow, man. What's it time to do? Repent. Repent. Get it right. Somebody say, get it right. Right? Amen. Well, here we go. Right? Get it right? The right wing? Amen. I don't think there's an accident of why the right is called the right. Because mostly it's right with this. Amen. I'm not saying there's not room for repentance on the right side as well. Lord knows, right? Amen. But the Republicans say this, foremost among those institutions is the American family. And I love how the Republicans talk, they have a lot more to say about American. They're not talking global. No boundaries. No, we're responsible for America. Amen. Right? I appreciate that, right? Okay.
Foremost among those institutions is the American family. It is the foundation of civil society. And the cornerstone of the family is natural marriage, the union of one man and one woman. Amen. We see that in the word too, don't we? It wasn't Adam and Eve and Barbara and Sally and... No, Adam and Eve. Amen. So this is good stuff. It's good stuff. Amen. So in other words, when I go to the polls, I have to know the person with the D by their name probably represents this. Even if they're running for dog catcher. Last year, I had people get mad at me that I would email and say, hey, I'm in the community that you're in and just want to know where you stand. This is a simple question. I think all I said was, how does your faith affect the decisions that you make? Because a lot of them are nonpartisan. Some of those guys, man, got offended. That got nothing to do with my job. Well, yeah, but you may be running for mayor next. So I'd like to know. Again, I'll ask you slowly. Because I have a right to know that. They almost act like you don't have a right to ask me that. Well, you know, maybe in certain jobs that may be true, but you're running for office. This is a public thing. I have a right to ask that. And yes, I know, and the D side would say, you know what? That should have nothing to do. Why? Because they're trying to control what you think, what you say, all these kind of, well, it's not politically correct to ask that question. Embrace all gods. Embrace, oh, no, 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 no. That's not what this says. Somebody say one God, one faith, one Lord, one King. Amen. Praise God. Well, finally, on Israel. Israel is a key thing, church. Amen. How nations treat Israel is how they will be treated. If you just look at the Bible, look at history, it's the truth, right? Amen. So Genesis 12:3 says this, I will bless those who bless you, talking about Israel, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, I heard this week that there is a statistic that all the Nobel Prize winners, 23%, I believe, are Jewish. And yet Jews are like less than 1% of the population of the world. God is still blessing, I mean, medical breakthroughs, technology breakthroughs, Jewish people coming out of Israel, 23% of the Nobel Prizes. God is blessing the world still through Israel. Amen. And God loves Israel. There's a scripture that says Israel is the apple of God's eye. And there's scriptures that talk about not messing with the land of Israel. Right? Look at Joel 3:2 if you have it there. I actually bookmarked it because I thought it might take me a while to find it again. Joel 3:2 says this, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as payment for a harlot, sold a girl for wine that they may drink. See, so that scripture there, they have scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. God, we don't want to mess with Israel. Amen? Now, look at the Democratic platform statement regarding this. We will continue to work toward a two-state solution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Somebody go, Danger, danger, right? No, you don't divide up the land of Israel. Now, they would say, ah, you're nuts. You're just a bunch of wacko Christians. Well, guess what? We vote, too. We vote. We vote the word of God. And you ought to be thankful we do, because it may be saving our toast more than you know, right? I love how our president finally did what presidents had promised to do in the past in moving the American embassy to Jerusalem. You know what that says? That says we're on Israel's side. Amen. That's a powerful statement to make to the world. And other nations, just like the thing we shared about weed, how there's states in America now that say weed is okay, and all the whole nation of Canada bought into it. Well, in a good way, we moved our embassy to Israel, and now other nations are considering moving their embassies to Jerusalem. Praise God. Hallelujah, right? So the Democratic Party again. We will continue to work toward a two-state solution for Israeli-Palestinian conflict negotiated directly by the parties that guarantees Israel's future as a secure and democratic Jewish state with recognized borders and provides the Palestinians with independent sovereignty and dignity. Amen. We don't want to be giving any type of support to people that hate Israel. Period. Amen. That's why when our leaders give arms to Iran or, you know, do all these nutty things, right? It's evil, right? There's even been Republican presidents in recent years that have funded and done great things, but just didn't have the knowledge of this. A lot of Christians think that the church has replaced Israel. So Israel doesn't really matter. That's not true. That's not true. Somebody say, that's not true, right? Israel is still Israel. God loves Israel. Don't mess with Israel. We've been grafted into them. It's not really that Israel needs our help. We need their help. Is the truth. It's the truth. Amen? God loves Israel. Look at the Republican statement. We oppose any measures intended to impose an agreement or to dictate borders or other terms, and we call for the immediate termination of all U.S. funding of any entity that attempts to do so. Our party is proud to stand with Israel now and always. Praise God. Praise God. So it's important for you to know as a voter, if you vote D, right, you're probably, you know, as far as big picture, probably supporting anti-Israel efforts. Amen? This is why we need to do our homework and study, but this is good knowledge to have going forward to the polls. When you get your, I do the mail-in one, right? And you pray over it and you look at all the issues. Ask God to show you. Ask him to open your eyes. Amen? And remember, the Democratic Party seems to talk about these universal words, all-inclusive, bigger government. Just let the government take care of you, baby. You just be our baby. We'll take care of you. You can do whatever you want, live however you want. We'll pay for it. Well, it's like, no. No. Somebody say no, right? Free enterprise. Choices of doctors you want. Choices of education that you get. Amen? That's America right there. Amen? And that's biblical. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord forevermore. Let's pray. Hallelujah. And I put in the notes there the links for the Democratic and Republican platforms so you can, if you want to look at them, you can read the whole thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Just stand up on your feet and let's just spend a minute or two praying for our country. Hallelujah. And over these elections. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray in tongues for a minute, and then we're just going to agree. Y'all can pray in tongues as well if you pray in the Spirit, or just be praying that God would bless and make his decisions be clear to his people, that the church would show up at the polls. Because there is an opportunity for godly leadership to actually increase in their authority with this election, in the House and in the Senate, I believe. So, Father, in Jesus' name, God, we cover our nation. We cover our president. We cover our Congress and Supreme Court and state representatives, God. Lord, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done in the United States of America on earth as it is in heaven today, Jesus. We take authority in the heavenlies over demonic forces that come to steal and to kill and to destroy. We cast him down in Jesus' name. Jesus said about the devil, I saw him fall like lightning. So I thank you, Lord, that these antichrist beliefs that are trying to overtake our nation, we cast them down as spirits, not as people, as spirits. The spirit of homosexuality and perversion, we cast you down. Spirit of murder and abortion, we cast you down in the name of Jesus Christ. The spirit that would want to bring terror to the world and destroy Israel and America and Christians and people that love God, we cast you down in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We apply the blood of Jesus over this election. We declare the sleeping giant called the church is awake and showing up and voting what the word of God says to vote. in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, we pray for all of our leaders, no matter what party they're in, God, no matter what party they're in, Lord, that they would know you as their Savior and Lord, that they would know Jesus, that they would be saved, that they would do what is right and true, that they would not succumb to the pressures of special interest groups and dishonesty and lies, but that they would be about the truth of the love of God and the Word of God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we do ask you, according to 2 Chronicles 7, Lord, we humble ourselves, we pray, and we seek your face today. We turn from our wicked ways. Then we will hear from heaven. You will hear from heaven, Lord, and you will forgive our sins, and you will continue to heal our land, God. I rebuke the devil who's the accuser, that divisive, accusing hatred that's out there in the world right now in our nation. We curse it in the name and by the blood of Jesus. In the name and by the blood of Jesus. I think of the verse that says that you will, basically, that you will calm us with your love, Lord. Calm the nation down under the power of your great love. Hallelujah. Somebody just thank the Lord today. Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for all these things. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, I receive it all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed day, everybody. I think there's some refreshments out there. Remember to vote and pray. Amen.